The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 620, recorded on August 10th,
120th edition of the TG Gaming Podcast and 453rd episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Dinser.
I'm Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
Right, so this is going to be a very fast podcast because I am not feeling well and there's not much news. So TJ, what have you been playing that isn't Blaze Blue or Guilty Gears? Or
I was jamming on the back for Blood Beta this last weekend.
Oh yeah, so did I. I sent you a code.
What did you think?
Okay, so I think the ammo's a little bit scarce, and the levels are not that intuitive, or not as intuitive as Left 4 Dead. And I'm not sure I'm sold on stamina, but otherwise I enjoyed it. It's basically what you'd expect from the next level of Left 4 Dead 3.
Yes. I agree with you on the ammo thing. I never have had any issue figuring out where to go, but I really love the shotguns in that game. I feel like they added a lot more weight to weapons in Back for
one of the shotguns is more like a sniper rifle.
Yes, you can get a long barrel on one of them and a scope and basically turn it into a mid range weapon. I like the feel of the gunplay, and I was like, I was nervous about the card system, but like seeing it in action in both PvE and PvP, it was fun. It was fun to see the kind of cards you could collect and build decks.
I never got any of the really advanced ones. All I got were the ones that increase your stamina a little bit, increase your health a little bit. Yeah. When you're doing melee, you have an automatic knife.
Yeah. And then there's like melee vamp, where if you kill enemies with melee, you'll get health points back, which that should be pretty fun.
Yeah, in Left 4 Dead though, you could do unlimited melee. It was a common strategy just to squat in front of the people with guns and just knock zombies back. With the new stamina, you can't do that anymore.
There are some parts in the game where you have to actually run from the zombies. And when I think about it, that stamina gauge, well, really.
Let's stop for a moment. Those are not zombies that we're fighting. At least none that I ever saw. They were like Last of Us plant creatures, felt like.
I think the premise behind them is that they're infected with some sort of worm-like creature.
Yeah, they were quote-unquote zombies, but not really zombies. Just zombies and everything but name.
Their name for them is the Ridden.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, they have several versions of the tank now.
Yes. There are several versions of the tank, the spitter, the exploder.
If I have another complaint, it's that when you're attacking the special, you don't really get feedback of if you're doing damage to them. I don't feel like I'm doing damage to them when I'm shooting them. They just, at some point, they just fall over.
Yeah. It would be nice to,
No escape!
Okay, Scott, we don't want to listen to that.
Be gone!
Scott, what are you watching? Scott? Scott, what are you watching?
Scott, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Why are we hearing that music?
What music?
It's coming from you.
I don't hear any.
It sounds very anime now. It was very anime.
It sounded like a battle from a JRPG or something.
Sorry, I didn't realize you could hear anything.
Well, anyways, getting back to Back for Blood. This was what? A playable alpha or playable beta? This was a beta, right?
Yes, this was the closed beta. The open beta is going to be this coming weekend.
Yeah, I can see where they're going. They have the room to tweak a lot of shit. There's not much they have to change, and what they have to change will just probably be small things, like we were talking about. You know, I mean, I'd like some feedback. I mean, that's the only real problem is I'd like some feedback when I'm attacking the special.
Yeah, I agree. You do get some like small indicators on the crosshairs when you land a shot, but that's about it.
Yeah. But it's promising. It's going to be on Game Pass, so I don't have to worry about getting it on day one. I just play it on Game Pass.
And that is a great Game Pass game. Like, that should be a really fun one for at least the first playthroughs of the campaigns, and then if you want to jump into the PvP mode. I enjoyed the PvP mode.
I did not try the PvP mode because Left 4 Dead was not a game I played the PvP for. I just played PvE a lot.
Yeah. It was more fun than I expected it to be. I feel like it's way more lopsided in the favor of the infected.
But that's the entire point, now, isn't it?
But
see, that's what you want. You want it to be a hopeless battle against it. I mean, that's the entire point of Evolve, you know?
Uh-huh.
Although in Evolve, they just got ridiculously overpowered.
Yeah. It is fun because like the whole premise of the PvP, or at least the main mode that they had available during the beta, is that as the humans, you have to survive as long as possible, and as the infected, you need to kill them as fast as possible.
Gee, it sounds like a certain kind of games, like I don't know, Dead for Daylight, Friday the 13th.
Well, like the twist is that then you switch sides. And it's like a game of horse. The next humans have to beat your time, or have to live longer than you did.
Which is a good way to do it.
So yeah, it was more fun than I expected it to be. It was really me and my buddies figured out sort of a strategy where one of them would go in with the big clubbers, and I would just sit off in the cut, hitting them with a hawker bit. We had a pretty good time, and it was unexpectedly good for PvP. I'm generally down on Turtle Rock's PvP, so this was interesting to see.
Did you play anything else?
No, that was about it this weekend.
And I'm assuming Scott was playing his Trails from the Sky game again.
Cold Steel 2. Still doing the Civil War. I think I'm in the last quarter of Cold Steel 2, so I'll probably be getting to Cold Steel 3 pretty soon.
Okay. So, Scott, you can take the first news item.
Okay. Stardew Valley is coming to Game Pass. This is from PC Gamer. As part of the ID at Xbox Indie Showcase on Tuesday, Stardew Valley developer Eric Barone announced that his Farm Life Sim will be coming to Game Pass. There's not a set release date yet, but it's probably sometime in the fall, Barone said. Stardew Valley first launched on Steam in 2016 and has since made its way to consoles and mobile. At $15 and frequently on sale, it's an easy buy as one of the best games on PC, and a lot of people have bought it as of early 2020. Stardew had passed 10 million sales. As of this April, Microsoft's Game Pass reportedly passed 22 million subscribers, so that's at least 12 million people who haven't played Stardew yet. Even after 5 years, Barone has stayed busy working on Stardew Valley in early 2021. The recent 1.5 update added a wealth of new features and expanded endgame. Barone also co-designed a Star Valley board game, which is currently sold out.
So, it's funny because TJ was on Twitter and saying, you know, is there something wrong with me? I haven't played Stardew Valley in 5 years. And it's almost like Microsoft said, oh, you know what? we're getting it on Game Pass if you're interested.
I've actually never played Stardew Valley, and I kind of feel bad for that because it absolutely looks stellar. But I also feel like it requires a ton of time, and
it's just me. You know, you can have Stardew Valley and Minecraft both as Game Pass games. So right there, there's all the productivity ever in every single computer ever. Right there, those are the two big productivity suckers.
Yeah, and like, I'm really happy for people that have stuck with that game for as long as it has, because it is incredible. Like, it is really cool how much it goes beyond just being a farming sim, and just even he himself said that that farming sim isn't even all that accurate anymore, so much as it is a country life sim.
And here's the thing, he's making free updates for the game,
mm-hmm.
and keeps on adding it. It's
and
like
substantial free updates too.
And it's like, I remember Yahtzee Croshaw said it's like Eric Marone is allergic to money or something.
Yeah.
And I have to, speaking of free updates, I mean, today was the 5th anniversary of No Man's Sky. And they just announced another expansion, Frontiers. And that's a game that's constantly gotten free update after free update after free update. And is also, by the way, on Game Pass. And Hello Games really had to win back, and they did win back, all the goodwill.
Yes. Wait, you were saying No Man's Sky?
Yeah, No Man's Sky. They had their 5th anniversary celebration today, announcing a new expansion.
Yes.
I mean, Eric Rowan has always had goodwill.
That's kind of an amazing thing about No Man's Sky, is that they dragged themselves up from the bottom to really make No Man's Sky and do like something that now has a community that just loves it. I remember people were just like hyped beyond hyped when they saw that crossover event where you could freaking discover the Normandy from Mass Effect. Which is just like, who would have expected that an at launch flop like No Man's Sky would have evolved to the point where like EA was like, yeah, we'll let you borrow our ship from our star game.
Well, if you ever played Spore, you could find a planet where you heard the theme music to Mule playing.
yeah, but like the Mass Effect is iconic and the Normandy is iconic. That's like I don't know. The only thing that I could think of outside of video games that would be better is if like the USS Enterprise showed up in No Man's Sky. It's that kind of level of iconic.
I have to add, it's also a VR game. And I tried a little bit of VR before. I haven't had time for Stardew. I mean, not Stardew. I mean, No Man's Sky. I'll probably try it again in VR. I still have to get used to the ship controls. The ship controls are what are really bugging me. So. But yeah, I mean, it's. Here I'm going off on yet another related tangent. They call it Horizons. That makes me think of Elite Dangerous, and my God, that game's went through the wood chipper lately. The community in Elite Dangerous is sour. They are really down on Elite Dangerous right now.
What's wrong? Is it because of Odyssey?
Yeah, and also, there's just a lot of shit going on with that game and the relationship with the developers. You only have to go to YouTube and do Elite Dangerous, and every single video is Elite Dangerous dying? And if you look at the numbers, yeah, it is dying. People are not playing as much. And Odyssey was just a wet fart, basically. And I'm only disappointed with Odyssey because it didn't have VR in it. That was the only reason why I played Elite Dangerous, was for the VR portion of it. Which is why I didn't pick up Odyssey.
Yeah. I mean, you can still play a VR in the Horizons version, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything else, yeah. And yet another tangent. We're going a lot of tangents. Star Citizen, it's upticking big time. Because all this content is coming out. People are playing it. They're still playing the alpha, but they are amazed at what's going on in the game. They have a new, Star Citizen's version of Cloud City. And here's the problem with Elite Dangerous. It's procedurally generated, so it can get boring fast. And when they have, when you land on planets, they stuck some vegetation. It was like a beta for No Man's Sky. But they're gonna have crafted planets, like 120 of them in Star Citizen. And they're really going into the detail. And there's a lot of kayfabe too. I mean, they released another fake commercial, which, by the way, I really love. What I like to do is I like to put them in a playlist and then just have them play on my TV while I'm doing something. And I pretend I'm living in the year 2533 and these banal spaceship commercials are popping up on my screen. Lance Henriksen doing some narration for the and all that stuff. It just makes me feel, and I think Elite Dangerous, you have the entire galaxy, but it's all procedurally generated and it's not much fun as you go further out. While Star Citizen is promising, hey, all these places are going to be curated. And when you're on these planets, you're walking around, it is really immersive. And people seem to forget, Chris Roberts is a master at doing immersive space sims. I mean, Freelancer was a smash hit for a reason, you know? And I only think the only reason why people were down on Star Citizen for a few years is that really people spent hundreds of millions of dollars and they really haven't seen anything yet. People literally spent $10,000 on a spaceship. And, you know, it's sort of like, what's going on here? This seems kind of, you know, sketchy. But now it's coming out and it's starting to have more and more content. And people are saying, fuck yes, this looks great. So I'm happy for Star Citizen backers who can now feel, yeah, we didn't throw away our money. Especially whoever pays $10,000 for a virtual spaceship. But then again, we've seen EVE Online. So maybe it's a bargain. Because in EVE Online, and TJ knows this best, you can lose thousands and thousands of dollars from a virtual economy.
EVE Online is...
And they just had a major war end today. And it just basically had someone just signing papers of surrender, and that was the end of the war.
One of my buddies is convinced that EVE Online is a front for Russian mobsters to launder money, and everyone else just gets to borrow that universe.
I believe that if they had Bitcoin trading.
But no, yeah, EVE Online is like its own thing. It's a economy and community and game and out of game in a way that few other games are, where there are like straight up Dune style houses of players that are very loyal to each other and very vehemently anti factions. Where they will where once they locate some other faction's capital ship, they will literally cycle around, sitting around that one log-in spot, waiting for that ship to come back online so they can attack it.
You know what I think? I think people, and they haven't really asked for this, I'm willing to bet you this is what they really want. They want Star Wars Galaxies 2.0, but with EVE Online's scope and gameplay. That's what they want. Because people in Star Wars Galaxies made money being dancers in a bar.
Yeah. It's... Yeah. Like, I don't know. It is an interesting universe. I'm happy for all those universes, though. Like, I'm really happy for No Man's Sky, because, like, oh my god, did you see that? Like, anniversary video, that actually got me a little misty-eyed for as long as I've been covering it, because, like, recognizing all that content and recognizing, like, the hype people had when those moments came.
Here's the funniest thing. It was shown on Xbox Channel, and I have to believe this is the first time Microsoft ever aired part of a Sony PlayStation E3 press conference.
Yeah.
So, getting back to Stardew Valley, Scott, have you ever been tempted to play Stardew Valley?
Yes, I have played Stardew Valley. Okay. And I think I found it a little ironic when I played it that you're supposed to be getting away from a rat race, but yeah. I felt like I was trading one rat race for another because I felt like my farm had to perform. I had to produce, you know.
But here's the sneaky part of Stardew Valley.
Bring to their festivals and trade for other people to, you know, improve their relationships and talk to them. But
Scott,
timer was constantly going.
Did you learn that you didn't have to build up your farm at all in Stardew Valley? You were not required to.
I had to. I mean,
you could just do as much as you want, leave it at that, and do other stuff. Stardew Valley, and Eric Barone said this, and TJ mentioned it. It's not a farming simulation. It's a community simulation, because you could just build a rinky-dink tiny little farm, and then do other stuff.
The reason why I felt that way is because I found a cave with a note saying, "Grandpa's coming to visit you in a year to judge your farm." I'm like, "Shit, I gotta get this thing going." So
you were forced to do something because of family expectations. Okay.
I just feel like I did not have enough time in the day to talk to people and do their little requests and go into the dungeon and maintain my farm. And it just was, I felt like I traded one rat race for another.
That's just it, though. You know, what is your grandfather going to do? Take your farm away from you? No.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, he's not.
I had no idea. I thought he was dead.
For those who don't know, Stardew Valley opens with you opening up your grandfather's will and say, "Hey, guess what? I left you a farm. It's all dilapidated. You can have it."
I'm coming back in a year. I'm like, okay, he's alive. Okay, I thought he was dead.
It's his ghost. So, you know, maybe he had a psychotic break, and you only think he's coming back.
I never finished a year in that game because it just felt like too much pressure. Oh, and that's the other thing. You only get one save file. That drives me crazy, because I'm very used to Sierra games saving multiple files and having just one save file, and you can only save at the end of the night, so you can't go back and fix anything. It just felt like, again, one rat race for another. It's just too much pressure.
In a game that has that many narrative choices, I agree with you that I would like to have more than one save.
On the other hand, nothing in the game is catastrophic.
Yeah, that's good at least.
I mean, if you make a choice and you think it's the wrong choice, it's never a choice. It's a choice that your character makes, but it's never a choice that depreciates anything. It's just a choice, you know? And I think the entire point is that you're living a new life, and when you make a choice, that's your choice. You can't change it.
Yeah.
But, like I said, for those who don't know, this is a game that was developed by one person. Just one person.
I know, that's amazing.
And, you know, the game probably has Minecraft to thank, too. Like a lot of games do, but this one especially. And also, because Harvest Moon sucks, and Story of Seasons sucks, Stardew Valley is like saying, "Hold my beer, let me show you how it's done." And it has a following like Minecraft. You do a search for Stardew Valley fan sites, it's like a list the size of people. You go look for mods, and it's like there are about a quadrillion mods for it.
Mm-hmm. A ton of mods.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
Alrighty. Tales of Arise will get a PlayStation and Xbox demo from Bandai Namco role-playing game Tales of Arise will next week get a demo. You'll be able to download the trial version from the next Wednesday, August 18th, on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X and S. Tales of Arise is headed to those platforms and PC on September 10th. It's worth reiterating, there's no PC version of the demo for some reason. Tales of Arise was announced at E3 2019 for release in 2020 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One, though it was delayed last summer and not given a new release date. arises the 17th main entry in the Tales series of Japanese role-playing games and the follow-up to 2016's Tales of Berseria.
I cannot believe that I am the only person who's ever played a Tales game here. I am shocked at you, Scott. I am shocked.
I played Tales of Symphonia.
Really? Oh, okay. Okay.
I've played Tales of Phantasia and Tales of Destiny.
Yeah, for some reason you said you didn't play the Tales of games. I don't know why. I played Tales of Vesperia, and that's it.
Actually, I don't know if Tales of Destiny on PlayStation 2 counts or not. I played that as well. But like the PC ones, I only played Tales of Symphonia.
Destiny was PlayStation 1. That was the last one. Tales of Destiny 1 and 2 were basically the last ones that they did 2D sprites.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one was Tales of Phantasia. That was on the Nintendo 64, no? No.
Yeah,
Super Nintendo. Right. Oh, no, the Super Nintendo.
Yes.
That was the one that was Japanese only, but they made a fan-made translation of it.
Yeah, they went to the PlayStation Japan only and a Game Boy Advance version. They did do a PlayStation remake called Tales of Phantasia Full Voice Edition. In 2006.
I wouldn't mind giving Tales of Arise a try, because I like the action RPG combat of those games. I also want to try the most recent Mana game that came out that was a remake of Secret of Mana 3.
Oh, Legend of Mana.
Legend of Mana?
Yeah, Legend of Mana just came to Switch as a remake. Or a high definition.
Oh no, that's a remake of the PlayStation 1 game. I'm talking about the one that was 3D, like Dragon Quest-y 3D, and came to and was like a remake of the third game. Mana. God damn it!
I know Secret of Mana got remade. Legend of Mana.
Trials of Mana. That's the okay. One. Trials of Mana is a remake of is a 3D remake of Secret of Mana 3.
Yeah, there were 14 spinoffs for this game.
Wow.
There were 17 in the main series and 14 spinoffs.
I didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah, I mean, you had Narikiri Dungeon and Summoner's League and Radiant Mythology and Dice Adventure and Tactics Union. You know, this game is huge. But here's the thing. It's huge, and it has a devoted fan base, but it's not something like you have with, say, Final Fantasy, you know, or Dragon Quest. It has a really devoted fan base, but it's not as mainstream as, say, Dragon Quest, which is basically a holiday every time a Dragon Quest game comes out in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Tales of Arise is coming to Game Pass. So, and I'm really hoping that Nintendo and Sony make their own versions of Game Pass. Although I don't hold out any hope for Nintendo doing it. I mean, they had their version and it sucked. Mm-hmm. Imagine Game Pass, but only like what was it? 3 games a month? Something like that.
They also announced today that the original Shining Force series is getting a new game, but it's only gonna be on mobile.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be mobile.
I am not against that, but I kind of want to see what it looks like before I go in on it. I like the Shining series. That was my first love in gaming that I can remember.
I can't say anything bad about mobile because I play Game Pass on mobile sometimes.
I mean, and we're in an age now where like things like that game that came to Apple Arcade from the original Final Fantasy creator came out.
Yeah,
The Fantasian.
Yes, I want desperately to play that game.
That does look really good.
And you know. people are going to think this is blasphemous, but I do want to play that Diablo mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was delayed, from what I understand, and delayed indefinitely, which is...
Yeah. Activision Blizzard is having a time of it. To say the least.
Yeah. By the way, no new updates on the scandals, although Mario Cuomo did step down, which has nothing to do with anything. But it does have a lot to do with what's going on with Activision Blizzard. Or at least in terms of the same theme. So.
Well, there was kind of an update today. The actually, the share one of the shareholder groups, one of the investors, published their own list of demands of Activision and basically said, you're not doing enough, do better.
You know, also, I have to say, some more managers and executives quit, but at this point, it's not really worth mentioning because it's just a given right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're just leaving. So, I don't think it'll be fixed until Bobby Kotick steps down. I think that's what they need.
It's the saddest thing, too, because not only is, like, Blizzard is, like, formative for a lot of people in gaming. Not only that, but, like, the person that they made the new president of Blizzard, the new co-president of Blizzard, Jen O'Neill, she has put in an incredible amount of work at Vicarious Visions, and Vicarious Visions has been on an incredible roll before they were sort of absorbed.
Diablo 2 Remastered coming, and guess who's made that? And that's a lot. Here's the thing. You know, you could say we're going to boycott Activision Blizzard, but then you say, oh, God, Diablo 2 is coming out.
Well, and like they revived the Crash Bandicoot series before Bob took it over. They revived
Spyro.
They revived Spyro. They revived Tony Hawk's
and Tony Hawk 1 and 2. Yeah.
And I would have really liked to see Tony Hawk a remake of Tony Hawk 3.
They were talking about that a lot earlier in the year about doing a remake of that.
And Jen O'Neill has been with Vicarious Visions since 2005, working her way up from a game tester to producer to executive to, like, she was head of Vicarious when it was absorbed into Blizzard. And now the fact that, like, they made her president is kind of marred by everything.
You know who's the happiest man on Earth right now?
Who?
Yzermo. He's, like, saying, thank you for taking your eyes away from Ubisoft. Thank you 1,000 times, thank you. No one's talking about Ubisoft now.
Mm-hmm.
With their weird little press statements.
It just to me, it sucks because Jen O'Neill probably deserves to be president of Blizzard. But because of the situation under which she was promoted, there's always going to be that question of did they do it because she's qualified for the job? Or did they do it because they needed to put a woman in there?
Well, the woman who took over for Mario Cuomo, there no one's saying that about her, so why not? Get Jade Raymond in there, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think whatever comes out of the other side of this, I think Jen will continue to do a great job for wherever she's at.
Again, this is going to stay like this until Bobby Kotick finally says I'm out. Agreed. And they're going to pay him a lot of money to and a golden parachute to get out.
Yeah, that's the sucky part of it.
Oh, it's just money.
They need to give him a parachute with a hole in it.
Well, that would be taxes, though, wouldn't it?
Just like a parachute that when he pulls the string, a whole bunch of wrenches and a spare tire pop out like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
By the way, this has nothing to do with anything, but Tales of Age of Empires 2 is getting three more campaigns and two more civs. Talk about backing a game that was debuted 21 years ago. I mean, I guess Microsoft is just going all in on Age of Empires, you know, since 4 is coming out at some point. And I heard the stupidest complaints that the boats didn't look as real as the boats in Age of Empires 3.
Mm-hmm.
That's just stupid. That's what you're complaining about?
Yeah.
The boats?
People will complain about anything that crosses their mind.
They'll shut up when they're making mods for it, you know. So. Anyway, getting back to Tales of Arise. I've only played one of the Tales games, but if it's on Game Pass, I'll give it a shot. I mean, I gave Dragon Quest Hunters 2? Wait. No, what Builders? Was it again? Dragon Quest Builders 2, right. I tried that. I tried Octopath. I tried, you know. And I'm getting to try all these games with what little time I have for them. And I end up just playing Slay the Spire. What? What did you ask?
Did you try Project Octopath?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course I did. Octopath Traveler. What's Project Octopath?
Oh, it used to be called Project Octopath Traveler before they dropped the project part.
Right. So, yeah, I'm playing all these games, and I end up just playing Slay the Spire in my free time after that. Oh, I don't know if I said this last week, but I am replaying Spiritfarer. I'm near the end again. So, oh, there's a question for you. How far have you got? Oh, it hasn't come out yet, right?
Are you asking me if I've played it on PlayStation yet? I have not had a chance to sit down with it yet. I'm trying to finish up one other game. I don't know if it is or not, but I'm trying to finish up one other game before I sit down to it. Me and Sam have been playing our way through 13 Sentinels. And then we're going to probably start Spiritfarer after that.
Yeah, it came out on the 27th, so it's out.
Yeah, it's on our list. It's probably going to be the next thing we play.
Yeah, what's funny is that it's only out on PS5. It'll be out on later this summer for the physical release for the PS4 and Switch. But I will say, you know, damn, I wish... I am envious of you because you're getting to play this for the first time.
That's always a nice experience when you play a game for the first time. You get to really experience the story and the atmosphere of the game. And it's like that first time of learning what the game is like and all about.
Well, here's the thing. The atmosphere is still as good when you first played it, but it's just that the story beats and all the surprises that are in it, I already know what's happening. So it's sort of like, you know, it's a different experience when you know what's going on, exactly what's going on. I will warn you this, though, if you play a two-player, it's sort of like playing Mario Odyssey. It's going to be a real... it's not going to be a fun experience with two players. Although, if you play as the cat, and you have the cat swim, Daffodil gives this, oh shit, look on her face. Because, oh no, she hates water, so you're forcing her to dive into water to grab something, and it's like, she gives this face like, what are you making me do?
I have thankfully remained pretty much unspoiled on Spiritfarer. I recognize that it's one of those games where I can experience it once. But, like, I like those games from time to time. I really enjoyed Undertale for that exact reason.
This is not a spoiler. I'm just going to say, when you're playing your guitar, watch Daffodil sing along.
I will pay attention for that.
It's just the cutest thing. And also, in the game, you can hug your cat. There's no purpose to it. You can just hug your cat.
Hug your cat?
Yes.
Hug your cat.
Yeah, you kneel down and you hug your cat.
That's a dog thing.
No, I mean, she just hugs. What's it called? She just crawls in her arms and hugs. Hug, hug. I mean, Daffodil likes it. And fortunately, you're doing this with a Lily update, so you'll be able to experience the Lily. And the Lily update basically reveals everything that's going on, because a lot of the game is metaphor. Lily just tells you exactly what's going on.
That's interesting. I hope it's not, like, too
heavy-handed. It'll make you cry.
Oh.
It'll make you cry. Because everything that she says, you sort of suspected. And then the details are laid out. And it is... You get backstory, and you get exactly what is going on. And I can't say anymore why Lily is there. You'll just have to play the game.
I'm into it. I'm ready for a feels trip.
Yeah, I am, here's the thing, I am so tempted to do a series of podcasts just having you talk about Spiritfarer. And me, because I already played it, you know, I already did everything in it. And just have a podcast of just, you know, what you experienced in Spiritfarer. Sort of like what Paul did with the other podcasters about Doctor Who. I never watched a single... I mean, I've watched Doctor Who, but I never followed an entire season. But they did. So I would just be recording them talk about Doctor Who. That's the sort of thing that I think it would be good to do. The Spiritfarer podcast.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Gustav update coming. I don't know what it does. I do know it'll change Gustav's story a little bit because some people felt it was ableist. And Kowloon said, okay, you know what, you're right. And they're going to change a little bit of the dialogue. I don't know what else they're going to change. But it's its own separate DLC, and obviously it's going to be free. So, yeah. So, yeah, it's not going to be as tear-jerking as, say, that Dragon Cancer. But it is a game about death, and it says it right there in the box. This is a game about death and how you cope with it. So, moving on. Take-Two trying to shut down popular GTA Online mod menu, and this comes to us from Eurogamer. Take-Two Interactive is attempting to shut down Ozark, a popular mod menu for Grand Theft Auto Online. As you would expect from a mod menu, Ozark lets modders manipulate the game both campaign and online to their liking, allowing them to teleport, insta-kill, spawn vehicles, drop money, and so on and so on. While modding single-player games has had some legal ambiguity, Take-Two also seems determined to make all forms of modding legal, modding multiplayer sessions is detrimental to the experience of other players. You think? You think? The unfortunate reality of Grand Theft Auto Online on PC is it's written with modders, which at times can make the game unplayable. It's perhaps understandable, then, that Take-Two has taken legal route to stop the distribution of such mods. However, Take-Two has received criticism for serving legal threats to single-player mods, especially for its older games. GTA United, a mod for the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, was taken down by its developers for fear of legal threats. Ozark was available through mod resellers for $25. Although some sites now show a notice saying the mod has been taken away by Take-Two, others still have it up for sale. It appears Take-Two lawyers still have more work to do. So, here, yeah. Taking down a mod that mods the multiplayer game, yeah, I am all for. I do not want to play a game in which all of a sudden just someone is driving around in a car which he did not earn. You know? And it's needless to say that Grand Theft Auto Online is really toxic, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of, I think modding is one of the biggest ways in which that player community has stayed alive and happy with what's going on. Like, they, and the reason why Take-Two hates modding so much is not necessarily because it breaks the mechanics of the game in any way. It's because if people are making content, then they can't sell you shark cards for that content.
I don't know. I think it's if you're playing and you're not playing a modded game and people are playing the modded game, you're not going to play the game. You're not going to play online, and that's where they make their money. It's like, why would I want to play a game in which people are hacking and doing wall scans and you know, teleporting? And that's not fun. So I'm not going to play GTA Online. I'm not.
Yeah, cheating is one thing, but like, I don't know. There is some fun in seeing people do stuff like taking the guy from taking the guy from Invincible and modding that character into the game and flying around knocking jets out of the sky.
I mean, the Nexus mods is never going to be taken down. I mean, all you have to do is get the mods from them if you want to play it on single player. From Nexus mods YouTuber, is just fine enough.
From one YouTuber I've seen playing the GTA, it's just chaos. The people are just running around doing whatever they want, you know, just it just seems like a complete mess, really. Just chaotic. I mean, it's like, I guess you're supposed to be doing heists or something together.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they're running around just being random. More like.
I just forgot to mention, I was at Play New York City this weekend, and the people who do Just Cause 4, I forgot their names, Avalanche. Was there, and I was hoping I might see something from Contraband, but it wasn't there. I am really interested in seeing what Contraband is all about, because you know what I want from Grand Theft Auto V? I just want a better heist mechanic, because they included the mechanic, but it's so limited. I mean, I could see where you could expand it and have it randomized and stuff like that. I would just do heists all the time. You know? Make them more and more difficult, and level up your the people who are doing the heist with you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping Contraband is what that game is.
Have you ever gotten into Red Dead Online at all?
Yeah, I didn't play much. Even though I had the $99 version, so I had a lot of buffs in Red Dead Online. But here's the thing: I didn't like Red Dead Redemption 2, so I didn't play.
Oh. Well, I was just gonna say because they recently did an expansion in which they added Red Dead Online's version of heists.
Well, they had stuff like that from day one.
Right. But these are like grand scale robberies where you like do multi-part campaigns of robbery.
Well, I'm glad they did it, but you know, since Red Dead Redemption 2 sucked and I'm not going to stick the disc into my game, I don't care.
Fair enough.
So, speaking of sticking discs, and I have Resident Evil Village coming, so I better wrap up Resident Evil 7 soon. So.
Yeah, especially before you even start Resident Evil Village, because it will give you, like, the first thing that Resident Evil Village does is ask you if you want to see everything that happened in the game before.
Oh, okay. Previously on.
Yes. And, like, it does the full, like, it's full spoiler territory.
Cool. So, yeah. But, like I said, I avoid GTA Online and Red Dead Online because those, well, especially Grand Theft Auto, just attracts the worst people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want to deal with it.
You have to have a very peculiar thick skin to take the Grand Theft.
I have a thick skin. It's just that I'm not into playing with 12-year-olds.
Well, it's not just like 12-year-olds. It's like
I know, but a lot of it is 12-year-olds, and I just don't want to play with other
troller trying to get.
I just don't
want to
play with children, either physically or mentally children. I just don't want to deal with it. It's right. You know, I play on Xbox Live. I know what it's like. So, anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net along with industry news and our gaming history articles. We need your feedback, so leave us comments on our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, to sub at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to iTunes and leave some iTunes comments. Just so you know, you cannot post at the regular site. You have to go to the Facebook site to post comments. For some reason, the site is screwed up and nothing I do could fix it. So if you're going to leave comments, go to the Facebook site. Anyways, you can find me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Shard with More.
And we will talk to you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun. Be cool. Play games well.